Do minks hibernate? Another extremely important ruminations, brumination, brumations, brumate is the word that Lorna Crozier taught me last night in her fantastic little sweet little memoir. Very interesting. The reason I'm asking if minks hibernate. Oh, sorry. Welcome to Solitary Confinement in the Digital Age, April 9th. Oh. It's a long haul day of existence in solitary. There are some things to do, but I feel like the impetus that caused me to initiate this broadcast was looking out into my yard this morning as I'm attempting to write some words, looking out and seeing a little mink hopping out, going from my barn along the water line, and then actually going into the water for a little swim, a little mink. And the reason why that was nice to me is because I've talked about some criteria for salvation books, and one criteria for salvation book is the synchronicities with things that are actually happening in the world. And just last night, when I was reading Lorna's Lorna's memoir, she mentioned a mink. She mentioned a mink, and that is the first mink that I've seen all year. As you know, I sit at this window every single morning and look out of it. And there's not been a mink all year since I've been here. So I'm wondering, I got here in November, I think. I'm wondering if minks hibernate, and I bet you they do. Or do they brumate? Lorna taught me that word. It's a word that's somewhat like hibernation. Let's see here. Through the garden. Brumate, where was it? Oh yeah, the turtles, her turtles, right? Her turtles don't hibernate, they brumate. I've seen those turtles. They sunk into the shallow muck at the bottom in mid-October and would stay inactive for 6 to 7 months. Not hibernating, we learned when we did some research, but brumating. But she doesn't say the differences. I wish she did. Anyway, I have to go look that up, I guess. But anyway. And then I saw a mink today, and unfortunately, the way she mentioned the mink was that it tore one of the turtle's legs off. They thought the turtle had its legs inside, but no, a mink had got to it and torn all of its legs off and eaten it. But it was nice to see a mink this morning, nevertheless. I guess where there's minks, there's eagles pretty soon. Is that how it works? The mink coat. Just here with my coffees. I've done an inspection. DIY, of course, as you know, is the theme, the goal for the Monday goal that we're working on. That's great. I love the new setup of this show. Set a Monday goal. So I gotta start thinking of my goal for, yeah, I think the Monday goal. It's gotta be a practical, real-world goal. I'd say verifiable. None of this, goals aren't going to be like find happiness. They're going to be like this goal is to perform the pouring of concrete starting Tuesday, April 13th or Wednesday, April 14th. So that's this Monday's goal. I've just been down at the cement mixer. I've looked at my step for today. I'm on step five. Well, let's. I'm just gonna. It seems clear. What I have to do seems clear, which is good because that's not always the case when I sit down there and try to figure out the steps to put this thing together. Sometimes it takes me 20 minutes to even figure out what it wants me to do with what and find all the pieces. And in fact, the diagram is an old diagram. And there, in the diagram, the cement, the handles of the cement mixer, I guess they were better made back then. They had a bar connecting them, like it was just welded to them. Not these handles, they're individual handles. So when the diagram doesn't even look like the exact thing you're putting together, that can be confusing. But I think we got through that one. It's starting to look like a cement mixer. Yeah, I looked up online how to mix cement. Like, I've done it before, but I just wanted to see what it looked like again. It looks exactly what I think it will look like. And I actually went for a little walk down at low tide. And I think, aside from the bag of cement, I will have everything, like, everything I need to mix cement here and start putting it in my barn, which loses a few more stones every day. But I don't know. We'll see. It would be literally to start right now. Right now would be the starting time. Like, just when the tide, is starting to ebb. And that will give the cement the longest amount of time to dry. Or something like that. Even if I could take the muck from right out around the barn to make a little moat, and then the water would go into the moat when it came in, that would buy it a few, I don't know, but then the barn might collapse under the moat. I'm not going to do that. Oh, so that's the one thing. The other thing is the plumbing underneath the bathtub, which I'm on like an idea stage. It's still kind of a fluke, but it's plan C now. I tried plan A, and yesterday I tried plan B, immediately realized that wasn't going to work, then switched to plan C. Plan B was kind of a last minute makeup plan. Plan C is showing a little more potential, but it's, of course, it's fraught with, you know, plan C things. So I've got that. I have done a little tiny bit of my writing. I slept in this morning. Again, I slept in till 10:30. You might say it's not right, but for me, it was the exactly thing to do. Right now, I just need to nurture myself. I need to take it slow. I need to reconnect to that perfect peace that I had discovered. It's not too far away. I've just put a little bit of murkiness between my soul and it. I've got to do my things, and I can, you know, honestly, I'm trying to get to this through this weekend without going to Digby till Tuesday to do all my stuff, without doing any shopping till Tuesday. I'm trying to kind of let my supplies run down. And I think primarily because it's not in the budget. It's not, the budget's blown. The budget is blown for this. So I'm just going to do that. I'm going to write my article. It's Friday. I'm going to watch the stock market a bit. I made a little back yesterday, but it's not about making it back, really. I don't know. Today's going to be just a, who knows? Who knows? You never know. Right, Castro? I'm going to look after my dog. I'm going to do a little gardening. I'm going to say the qualities of the superior person. Wellspring of determination. Wellspring of determination. I'm going to do this. I need to do these things. I need to do these things. And I know in the pit of my soul and my spirit that I need to do these things. And I need to do this podcast, Solitary Confinement in the Digital Age, because it helps. For some reason, doing the podcast helps. Just staying here, talking to no one, talking maybe to one person, two people. Doing the podcast helps. Oh. Advertising. The advertising world has evolved. I'm writing an article about how to get real estate listings without cold calling. And as Castro tries to get up, a little baby. And it's interesting because I really, I don't want to bash cold calling in this. Not to bash cold calling. Cold calling is an essential thing. Not to bash cold calling here. This is not to bash cold calling. This is not. We'd like to point out that this post is not. Look at this post. I really don't know. Cold calling, or as we like to, cold calling, or as we like to think of it as proactive assistance. Proactive and predictive. Can be a vital staple.
I don't think there's any little snacks for you. You want to have a little something, don't you? Okay, let's see. I don't think there's... They're all gone. Let me see. All gone doggy denies. Okay. Is that a Howard? You want to have a Howard's phone? You got your Howard's phone? Here. You like it. Here, your Howard phone. Anyway, you can take that. Yeah, that's a nice thing to have. Yeah. That's a great thing to have as Howard's phone. Hey. Yeah. Here, let's get you up. Can you get up there yourself? You want to try?
Okay, I'll let you talk. I'll leave you alone. We'd like to point out, oh, here we go. A thought tangent just got me writing. That's great. I love it when that happens. That's my favorite thing. A thought tangent. Wow, I've got so many good things on. I'm working on a little drama involving sea glass, which is... it's another thing I have to do. This is going to be a wonderful weekend. I'm rich. Here I was feeling so poor. I got enough food to get me through this weekend. I gotta fix my cell phone because, you know, the day after Google, this is just a perfect coincidence, the day after Google calling, like, was disabled as a function of Google, of Gmail, my iPhone starts telling me, oh, I got an invalid SIM card. And I don't have one of those things to, open the iPhone. And my car is not technically registered because I need my phone to get the insurance. It's registered. It's not insured. My car is not allowed to be on the roads because I'd have to phone. I was going to get my insurance over the phone, but that has suddenly become a nice little quandary. It's a nice quandary. It's humorous. It could make a person groan who's in the wrong frame of mind, like perhaps it has to me yesterday and maybe a little bit 5 seconds ago, privately, but it's something to address. Oh, I got this article. We'd like to point out that this post does not exist to bash cold calling. Savvy realtors know that cold calling, or as we like to think of it, proactive and predictive assistance is a vital agency master cold calling. Never find themselves. However, many people simply. Many people simply don't like it. And there are many ways. I would do that. Many people simply don't. However, you might be one of the many. Agents who master cold calling never find themselves at a loss for listings. However, many people simply don't like it. You might be one of the many agents. Cannot stand. Cannot stand. Often, if you. Many people don't like. There are many ways to. If you want to keep it as a last resort. Well, here are some ways. As a last resort, here are some. I'm going to keep it as a last resort. Here are some great ways. If you're reading this blog, it means you probably know of our service. Our breathtaking. Let's go. Come with me outside. Let's go do inspection. Come on, let's go. Come with me. Let's go for inspection. Let's go for inspection. I guess not. I forgot. I was doing a podcast.
I just want to spend time with you. If you want to be out in the sun, that's my priority.
Spending my last few days here with Castro. I don't know. That's how it feels. She's getting old. Oh, little baby. Now in the nighttime when she said, if I'm awake, usually she'll try to wake me up to when she wants to turn. She'll snort or something, and then she'll stand up, and I'll put my hand under her kind of lower, I guess under her buttocks, I guess across her vagina, probably. I don't know where. Anyway, and help her turn. And just help her turn in the night. And that's what, you know, that's how her hips are these days. But, you know, we go out every single day. We still go out for our inspections every single day. I do a little bit of work on, yesterday I went out and showed her the, I guess you could call it the secret garden. I don't know what to call it yet, but it's where Castro's sleeping rock is. It's little Castro's quarters. It's Castro's little garden. Yeah, something like that. I should plant some flowers in there. I should. Castro's garden. That's Castro's garden. Yeah. Yeah. I brewed some coffee. I'm out of my favorite Nescafe instant coffee. Maybe this is another reason why I was feeling poor. You know, I was feeling poor to start the podcast. And the podcast, it's just bringing me up. It's bringing me into focus. I treated the podcast seriously. Like, for example, before I did the broadcast, I went downstairs and I looked at the next step that I have to do just to bring something to the podcast. And then the podcast brings something to me. Last night I had a nice cleanup of my kitchen, which felt good. I had a wonderful hot bath. I went for another breathtaking walk along the seashore. Ugh. I caught a cold, I believe, because I didn't wear anything on my head after I had a bath last night. It was kind of warm enough, but, or it could be the pandemic that's everywhere, though. I don't know how I'm going to catch it. When yesterday I didn't see a single human being. I did not come into contact with a single human being yesterday. Probably the day before was the delivery guy who delivered the stapler sorter, which I'm going to use. I'm going to use that. I'm going to get that thing going. That's another project. Eventually. It's a glorious day. I want to do some handwriting. Yesterday I did some handwriting. And handwriting, as I've written, handwriting is the hand that has upheld me. Handwriting, there's something in handwriting that's, I didn't realize, some kind of medium is the message kind of thing that I don't know. I know there's theories out there that are about it, about the energy and this and that. And it's funny, I was writing about energy this morning, about walking around the racetrack in reverse in Beefhampton. That was what the character was doing. He walked around the racetrack in reverse. I read some of it yesterday and I was unhappy with the happy birthday Zali Pan section. There's something that I'm not happy with there. It felt a little rushed, and I know I did try to make it way shorter. I went and hacked out a bunch of stuff. I think I gotta do a few things to that, but that's okay. That was the first piece I wrote. So I got here when I was frantic and I wrote happy birthday Zali Pan, and I was writing it, but it was also writing me, just like everything I do, it seems. It was writing me. I was carrying on as this little solitary thing. That's when I started doing this podcast. I started doing this podcast back then, and there were just so many frequently kind of obscene broadcasts. It was just horrible. Like, it was just, I was in a yucky state. And that was me working up the writing. I believe it gets significantly better in the gardens. The gardens is my favorite part, I think, so far. I don't mind Inshallah. Inshallah seems to be okay. The grandstand. And pretty soon he's going to pray. He's going to have the desire to pray, I think. Something like that. He's going to pray, and then he's going to see for the last time. Because there's one more person that's got to appear. In this, there's a couple maybes, but there's one more person that's got to appear for sure, and that's the man with the glasses. That's the man with the glasses. He's got to appear. Good old Mortimer Jenkins. Wow, I got a cold. I should go check the mail today. That's something to do. I think I have a driver's license coming in the mail today. My Nova Scotia driver's license. Which is an important piece of the puzzle. Yeah, I'm going to check the mail after this. I'll do my inspection with Castro. I have $3.50 in my bank account right now. $3.50. So I'm going to try to figure out, like, somehow I can spend that. See, I kind of want to buy margarine because I can buy margarine with my last $3.50 because I got microwave popcorn and there's just no point. It's just without the margarine, melted margarine dumped on it. I'll just be missing the melted margarine. It's like you can make any kind of obscene analogy you want with that. Sniffling. Well, winter's over. I got my first cold. Good old Australia. I guess I'm still an Aussie at heart. I'm antipodean, as they say. Antipodean. Antipodean? How do you say it? I say antipodean. Yeah, so Lorna Crozier predicted a mink, and that is that's kind of a characteristic of a salvation book. That's a salvation book. through the garden. For some reason, Patrick Lane and Lorna Crozier and myself were entwined. I wish someone would have, I wish a Canadian publisher would have the courage to publish something I've written. I would love that. I wish somebody, a Canadian publisher, would have the courage to publish something I've written. It's an absurd thing. It's an absurd thing. And don't think it's not, also doesn't drive a man insane, Bridget Keating. But it's an absurd thing to be writing, working on this light, this work, Beef Hampton, for over a decade. And now, over the course of this decade, when I started writing it, like, it was like there was a, I felt like there was a chance that it could be published in the world. I felt like that the Canadian publishing world would still publish it, and there might be. Now I feel like the whole publishing world is far too scared to publish here in absentia, to publish Beef Hampton. I feel they're just afraid to do it, and it's so strange because I feel that way. I feel that I felt that way for a few years now. I think for about 2 years for sure, ever since the tree planting, the thing with the boycotting the tree planting thing, maybe for about. That's kind of solidified. And then the Stephen Brown thing, with these fiascos that aren't even fiascos. And then, whatchamacallit? what did I say? Anyway, oh yeah, the very Kafkaesque thing is to be writing a novel that you now believe no one will have the courage to publish, knowing that it's a good novel, knowing that it can be a great novel, and knowing that no one will even give it a chance, and just believing that no one's going to publish it, but continuing to write it. That's what I'm saying. Just believing, just almost knowing no one's going to publish it, but I'm still going to make it the most important thing to me. Now that is art. That's what you call the power of art, Bridget Keating. That's the power of art, okay? Clearly that has not struck you yet. If you feel it's your business to be go around striking down artists, I would say other artists. I've never read a word of yours. I've heard you're a poet. I've never read a single word of yours. I'd have no interest in reading you or knowing anything about you at this stage. Although at a later stage. No. I'm just saying that's why I need this podcast, to say things like that, to say things like that. Who else am I allowed to talk to? Can I say things in an article? Can I say things in a novel? Can I say things in a poem? Can I say things in a documentary film? No. No, well, I can. Anyway, here we go. That's been a good podcast. I've said something that was in my system. This is one of the reasons. Find out why you are the way you are. Find out why you've gone so heavily into substances over the past few years. Find out why your kind of decline has occurred after all of these attempts of yours to be a positive force in this world. Find out why your, like, the drinking got so out of hand and could potentially still get so out of hand. Why you need to look at it so with such scrutiny now. Find out why all these things. And yes. Yes, I'm finding it out now. The work of Bridget Keating is at the heart of it. It is at the heart of it. I only learned yesterday. Yeah. Anyway, solitary confinement in the digital age. Again, for me, again, this podcast has just proven. I've just needed to do it. I've got a little direction. Even talking it out, I decided I'm going to the post office. I'm going to the post office. Hey, Castro. Then we're going to do our inspection. Wahe Guru Ji Kakalso, Wahe Guru Ji Ki Fateh. And may Jesus Christ come into my heart. Oh, well, 20 seconds to go. I'll take you out with a little bit of Flying Eagle. Once there was a flying eagle. Once there was...